Welcome to the Hometown Foods Let's Talk Guthrie County. I'm your host, Marcus Mackey. Joining us today is Iowa Senator for District 12, Amy Sinclair. All right, Amy, recently the Senate passed to do 3% for state supplemental aid. What was kind of the working force to get it up to that 3%?
I think kind of the, as you know, the governor had introduced 2.5% on SSA and then another additional 0.5% that went to the teacher salary supplement, which because it was done that way, it was significantly less money actually, because it was 5% of the teacher salary supplement. Honestly, just I think the legislature wanted to acknowledge that we do have some inflation. At the same time, on that compounding funding mechanism, we do need to be reasonable, but there is inflation that has driven up the fixed cost for districts, and so we need to recognize that. So we did step up from what the governor had originally budgeted to 3% supplemental state aid. That's about 107-ish million additional dollars going into our K-12 system for general fund purposes. There's likely to be other funding mechanisms that happen just through the appropriations process. But for that general fund piece, it was $107 million increased the state aid foundation formula cost per pupil to just over $7,600 per student. I think it's $7,635.
Okay. And as you mentioned, inflation's a little high at the moment. So some people may be asking why only 3% when inflation is so much higher than that.
Sure, and that's totally understandable. The reality of it is we can't control federal spending, and we have to be mindful of the fact that every increase we give annually, and we have given increases annually since I've been chair of the Education Committee, and then this year again as well, we've given increases annually because we understand that there are inflationary costs. But we can't control federal spending, which has jacked inflation up to over 8%. But we have to be mindful of the fact that all of those increases compound annually. So next year when we increase it again, we're building off of that additional 3%, which we have to be mindful of the state's budget. So balancing that fine line between keeping the state's budget responsible and achievable versus an inflation that's been caused by the federal government spending money like drunken sailors, we can't control that part of it. So we have to control our end.
All right. And some opponents to the 3% would probably be that they're saying they're worried that it's not enough to keep good quality teachers in school districts.
I think we have a workforce problem that's far more than 3% salary increase would negate. We have issues with violent behaviors from students in classrooms. We have teachers feeling ill-equipped to be able to respond to those. We have curriculum issues that have caused teachers to just walk away. There was a study done of about 600 Upper Midwest teachers who had left the teaching profession, and those two items were at the heart of why they were leaving: classroom behavior and curriculum with which they disagreed. So we can talk about it being a money problem keeping teachers in the profession. And sure, we should pay our teachers a livable wage and a professional wage, and no one would argue with that. That's why we've increased flexibility for school districts to do just that. And that's why we increased supplemental state aid to a higher level than the governor had recommended, because we recognize that. But we've got to talk about this as a bigger issue for our education workforce than just money, because it's way more than just money.
All right. And then in the House, they were looking at a bill that would change the way people could claim assets for SNAP and limit what could be purchased with WIC, just kind of a way to limit unhealthy foods coming through for the most part, and making sure that the correct people were getting the benefits from those programs. What are your thoughts on that?
I will be honest. I don't think that we ought to be funding the purchase of soda and candy and things that actually increase and cause childhood obesity and diabetes in adults. I don't think the taxpayer should be funding that. So in theory, based on what you've said about where the bill has landed, I would agree with that. The Senate doesn't have a bill that gets at what can be purchased. We have a bill that gets at electronic verification of assets so that we know the right people are getting the benefits, so that we know that the kind of fixed income and children are the ones who are benefiting from that taxpayer-funded benefit. We know that a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, the state of Iowa was fined by the federal government because we were overpaying, underpaying, our expenditures were wrong, and that's all based off of not being able to properly verify assets and properly verify income and make sure the right people are on the rolls and receiving the benefits. And so for us in the Senate, it's first getting a handle on who should be having benefits, but honestly not opposed to making sure that the beneficiaries of SNAP are getting healthy products rather than some of these other items that actually reduce their long-term health outcomes.
All right, and you kind of mentioned it there, working on the electronic verification. Can you tell a little bit more about what that bill is?
So I'm not on the Health and Human Services Committee, but we've worked on it in the past. And it essentially utilizes an electronic service that can get instant verification of assets. So it can help determine who's actually eligible, who isn't eligible, and make sure that the people who actually have a need get the benefits and can get them faster. There are errors that can be made when we're doing it through human processes. There are delays that can be made when we're relying on humans connecting via a phone. So it's important for us to get real-time data information, real-time asset verification, so that we get the right people on the rolls getting the benefits and we're not having those deep errors that cause us problems with the feds within our system.
All right. And the Senate Education Subcommittee recently passed Senate File 159, which deals with curriculum and instructions based on gender identity and sexual orientation in school districts. Now that it's passed that subcommittee, where does it go from there?
From a process standpoint, once it passes a subcommittee, it's eligible to be considered by the committee as a whole. At this time, I don't know that the Education Committee Chair, Senator Rosenboom, I don't know whether or not he will bring that to the full committee. I do know that we're having discussions more broadly about parental rights in education and about making sure that we're focusing on those things that most parents find most needful, you know, our math, our reading, our science, being able to be a productive citizen and a contributing member of society. And so I know that just more broadly, there are conversations about parental rights in education and curriculum as a whole. But as far as that particular Senate file, beyond it now being eligible to be considered by the full committee, I don't know much about it.
And both in the House and with this bill in the Senate, there's been a couple different variations on the age group for prohibiting these topics in the curriculum. I know for the House, they were looking at K through third. This bill, Senate File 159, looks at K through eight. What are your thoughts on that age group, on where that should maybe kind of look at?
Look, I'll be honest. I don't think non-custodial parents or family members ought to be talking to kids in kindergarten through third grade about sex at all. And I don't care what kind of sex we're talking about. These are small children. And we certainly shouldn't be having people who are not the parents of these children having those conversations with kids at that young age. They don't know what sex is. Why are we exposing them to that? As a mom, I would have been livid had my kids' kindergarten, first grade teacher talk to them about their sexuality. That's not their job, and it shouldn't even be approached at an age where sexuality shouldn't be the topic of conversation. Six-year-olds. We're talking about six-year-olds. So there are issues of sexuality that are often addressed through just healthy wellness classes, you know, helping girls understand their menstrual cycle or boys the changes in their bodies. And I understand that that's historically been part of the curriculum. And so I don't know that I would be interested in changing that necessarily. But absolutely, if you're asking me, should we be talking about sex with a six-year-old? We should not be. And I don't care what kind of sex that is.
All right. And are there any bills that you know of coming up for next week that you're interested in taking a look at?
I do serve on the Education Committee, but I don't do a lot of work on the committee. I was chair for so long. My majority leader had asked me if I'd stick around and help the new chair get his feet under him and know the process and kind of understand particularly issues like the funding issue and some other bills that we had been working on for a couple of years. And so I agreed to stay on the committee, but I don't do a lot of the day-to-day work of that committee. I believe you'll see that the governor has a couple of education bills that are coming out that I'll be a part of working on. And there's one that deals with reducing regulatory red tape for local school districts and for students. So that bill is coming week, and that came out of the governor's office. And the governor also has a parental rights bill that we'll be looking at. I haven't done a deep dive on the contents of that bill yet, so we can talk about that next time. But I figure both of those bills will be coming up for discussion in this coming week.
All right. Thank you very much, Amy.
Hey, you're welcome. Always a pleasure.
That was today's Hometown Foods Let's Talk Guthrie County. Discover today the many advantages of shopping with your hometown team. Hometown Foods in Guthrie Center, Panora, and Stewart. If you missed any of today's program, you can find a recording of it online at raccoonvalleyradio.com under the podcast tab.